Taking shelter again of Srila Prabhupada. In the beginning, when we first came to Krishna consciousness so many years ago, there was a clean-cut distinction between what was material life or Maya, illusion, and what wasn't. Maya was seen as everything in our lives up to that point, our many sinful habits, our ignorance and bodily consciousness, our unending longing for a variety of sense enjoyment, and of course our determined forgetfulness of God. What wasn't Maya was the temple, devotional service, sankirtan, prasadam, hearing and chanting, reading the Bhagavad Gita, and describing the glories of Krishna and associating with our beloved God brothers. And of course, following in the footsteps and instructions of a genuine, pure devotee. This distinction seemed like black and white. But as the years passed, those obvious distinctions faded into subtleties that were much more difficult to discern. As the more obvious influence of passion and ignorance slowly diminished because of the strength of our devotional service, the tricks of Maya became more subtle. The distress of our long, ignorant life of passion and longings had caused great pain and had been more than enough reason to surrender to our new life of devotional service. That was also true of the indolence and lethargy of ignorance. The miseries produced by the influence of these two modes was certainly a clear-cut impetus for taking shelter of Krishna in our new regulated devotional life and for our seeking protection from the many miserable reactions to our sinful lives. But the further we progressed in devotional service, the more subtle became the illusionary allurements. When I first joined Srila Prabhupada in 1969, it was very easy to engage in Krishna consciousness. All you had to do was be at the temple 24 hours a day, and there were devotional activities going on, and all you needed to do was join in. We understood from Srila Prabhupada that Krishna consciousness was just like a light. When you engaged in hearing and chanting, the light of Krishna consciousness was on, like when you come into a room and flick on the switch. But when you stop chanting or hearing, then immediately Maya would rush in, filling the void, just as darkness rushes in, filling the room when the light switch is again turned off. So we were always trying to fill our day, our whole day, with regulated devotional service, while all the time chanting continuously. All the devotees carry schedules outlining every minute of their day, and we're constantly trying to find the time just to fit in another hour of reading, etc. We were convinced that a devotee, even a neophyte, could be engaged 24 hours a day in transcendental activities through this practice of devotional practice. This was shown by Srila Prabhupada when he organized the temple in America and implemented these regulated devotional principles to be followed by his disciples within the temple. We rose at 4 a.m. and immediately after offering obeisances to Lord Krishna and Srila Prabhupada, we would clean our bodies, another regulated principle, because we are going to see the deities. Therefore, our showering for the purpose of pleasing Krishna was also in devotional service. And during our bath, we would chant the holy name. After we bathed, we would apply tilak all over our bodies, and while doing so, we would chant the different names of Krishna. Then we would dress ourselves nicely in clean devotional dress, wanting to satisfy the deities by a sincere effort to please them, by appearing before them with clean clothes. This devotional attitude and following of the different regulated principles help the neophyte and devotee keep his mind on Krishna. Let me skip a little bit here, since I only have 4 minutes. But nowadays, it's not so easy. There are so many... Nowadays, without so many organized activities to inspire us to engage in devotional service, our idle minds become fertile grounds for frivolity, or worse. Surrounded by many subtle forms of Maya, we again can fall prey to material consciousness. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that because we are too much attracted to sense enjoyment and material opulence, we are becoming bewildered and we're not resolved with determination to surrender to Krishna in full devotional service. If we gradually fall asleep again and forget about this proposal of surrendering to Krishna, the Supreme Personality, by complete surrender, humility, and submissiveness to the bona fide pure devotee, and remain on the mental platform, then we will again be subjected to birth, death, disease, and the awful miseries of growing old. If we foolishly abandon the shelter of Srila Prabhupada, and again rely on our own abilities of speculative analysis to gain knowledge, and the false renunciations of impersonalism, or seek shelter of non-devotional processes of counseling, relationship training, etc., then we are going to gradually disqualify ourselves from achieving our goal of love of God. That's it.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, we'd next is Mother Lakshmi Moni, and I'd just like to remind anyone that does not have your name on the list yet, you can approach me. I'm here at the back of the temple room. Ladies are men, and I'll be glad to put your name on. Yeah. Thank you.
Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nita Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaur Vanapacharane Nira Vishesha Srinivadi Prastracha Dasatayane Mukham Karati Vachalam Pangam Vangaya Tegirin Yat Kripa Tvamaham Vande Shri Guru Dhinatanam. When you were physically here with us, I didn't realize the vast vision you had and mission you were undertaking. I was very young, and it was exciting to be part of the Hare Krishna movement. People were coming, things were growing rapidly, the philosophy seemed simple and straightforward, the process clear and easy, pure devotional service appeared to be within reach, and I was willing and able to go for it. Now, 40 plus years have passed, my senses have become dull, my body weak, but more and more I am awestruck as I deeply realize your vision and determination, the difficulties and sacrifices you made, and encouraged us to make, your determination and compassion. Srila Prabhupada, I feel too tiny and inept to assist you in your mission, yet I know that I have to do it, and I want to do it. Your ISKCON must be a vibrant and united organization. I am still excited to see people take up the process you gave, read your books, and begin a new life's direction headed towards Krishna. I know that for them to sacrifice everything, they must feel the trust and respect that I felt. They must become inspired by your followers, and I have a role to play in building their faith. You took the mission of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on your head, and I must take yours on mine, because you gave your blood, worked so hard, cared so much, inspired so many, that if your work does not go forward, it will be a great catastrophe, both personally and for the world. You conquered the hearts by your simple, straightforward nishtha. You were expert in handling all people and all situations. You could judge time, place, and circumstance in seconds and make the perfect decision. You could follow with confidence. We could follow with confidence. Now many come together for days and weeks to discuss what to be done and what not to be done, and even then it's difficult to grow. We must build that love and trust so we can move forward with strength and determination. I must build that trust and move forward with strength and determination and then assist others when possible to do the same. Srila Prabhupada, you gave us a philosophy which allows us to understand life and death, to see the three modes of material nature at work in the world and in ourselves. You gave us a glimpse into the spiritual world. You told us we could be with Krishna and his companions laughing and feeling intense love and belonging. You gave us a structure by which to serve Krishna and give and get association to protect us from Maya so we could grow and taste the divine love. You created a family with thousands of brothers and sisters to inspire each other to take on the world and make it conscious of Krishna. Now we must work together to find the strength and resources to continue the charge. I am finally beginning to understand that these books contain the reality, the absolute truth, that are the beacon in our lives as death and disease become more prevalent within our ranks. I am a spiritual being and can be empowered by Krishna if I become your humble servant. But first, I have to learn what is humble and what it means to be a servant. I miss you, Srila Prabhupada. Before I could see you and hear you directly, get letters to answer my questions or news about you from others. Unfortunately, at that time, I could not comprehend the depth of your profound message and the exceptional servant of Krishna I had the good fortune of serving. I know, however, that you are still with me, in your followers, in your instructions, in my heart. And I pray, now that I understand a bit more, that I can do something to help your ISKCON grow and distribute Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Please, Srila Prabhupada, give me the privilege of your devotional service. Jai, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Mother Lakshmi. Very wonderful offering. Krishna Prabhu is next. After him, Mother Indrani and Maharaj Prabhu.
Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nam. Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravandipcha. Okay. I've been dreading this for some time. If I use up my 4 minutes doing this, it'll be better. This first part takes place in Bombay in 1974. And I just, the day before, left Vrindavan looking for my guru. And I just shaved up in Vrindavan and went to Bombay because I was told Prabhupada was there. My first encounter with your grace was during the greeting of their lordships, Shishi Radha Rasa Bihari, and Guru Puja. This was when they just had the pandal there. You entered the temple, and I was struck with how effulgent you were. As you sat on the Vyasasan, devotees offered you flowers. I got as close to you as I could in hope that you would look in my direction. I do not know how much I did not know much, but I did know I was in the presence of a pure soul. By some cause of mercy, I'd come in contact with someone who was beyond this material world. I was witness to a living miracle. I was in the presence of a fully liberated person. Have you heard enough? Who embodied pure absolute truth? In those moments, I knew I was the most blessed person in the world, for I was standing in front of not just my spiritual master, but the spiritual master of the whole world. I knew the years of spiritual study, the yoga, the meditation, the austerity I had done prior to this moment was like a child holding pennies in front of the world's bank vault. With my heart pounding, I again found myself praying for a special sign, something to reassure me that I had found my eternal guru, but that he would accept this very fallen and insignificant person. Although I didn't quite feel that way at the time, some realizations would come later as you opened my eyes, which were filled with darkness. So the loud kirtan went on and the devotees continued singing your praises. Even though I was standing and dancing just to your right, you had not looked upon me yet. Even when I had offered you flower petals, not a glance. Where was my sign? Maybe I was not qualified to be your disciple. Maybe I had come all this way just to be rejected. Maybe this, maybe that. My mind was reeling with hope and doubt at the same time. I was standing in front of God's pure messenger, one who can hear directly from Krishna. Then it was as if time stood still, and you, Srila Prabhupada, and I were the only ones in the temple. And as if in slow motion, you reached down with your right hand and filled it with beautiful red lotus petals. Slowly your hand rose up, and with what seemed to be a mountain of petals, you held them in the air, and ever so slowly you turned your head, and then your eyes pierced my very soul as if you entered into my being. I witnessed you seeing all my faults, shortcomings, my false pride, my material attachments, but you also saw my deep desire to obtain pure knowledge and truth. You knew my dearest goal of several years prior when I wrote down, I want to know what my relationship to God is. With each second lasting in eternity, your eyes opened wide as if to swallow my sins, and you broke out with a smile which seemed to rival the sunshine. While looking directly at me, you threw those flower petals right into my face. You laughed and you smiled as if to say, I have freed you from your material bondage, you foolish student. Don't you understand? Lord Krishna is a supreme controller and is in your heart. Of course he heard your foolish request for this sign. Then as a flower petal struck my face and body, I was transformed to a place I so long for today. It was as if I had received a direct message from Krishna. I had communicated with Krishna, and he had immediately responded, yes, Srila Prabhupada is the Jagat Guru. He is your eternal spiritual master. And he is accepting you as your disciple, as his disciple. Although I had just shaved up in Vrindavan a day earlier, my hair, Sika, must have been standing on end. The hairs on my body, my arms were tingling, and of course, my eyes immediately, poured tears. In an uncontrollable force. I was experiencing a spiritual event. I did not fully understand it, and I did not care who was witnessing it. To me, the journey of my life, my search for knowledge, truth, and self-realization had come to the gateway. I had been handed the matchless gift. The Acharya, the Jagat Guru of the age, had accepted me as a disciple. I knew this was the most important event in my thousands and thousands of births in the material world. I knew my life would never be the same. I knew that I was one of the most fortunate souls on the planet. All doubt, all reservation, all hesitation was taken away as each flower petal hit my body. I pray to my Lordship Shishi Radharadakanta, I will never forget this transcendental exchange. Srila Prabhupada, I thank you again for your mercy and your kindness. I thank you for the direct words you spoke to me. I thank you for the special times I was able to touch your lotus feet and to have the Mahaprasadam from your plate. I thank you for allowing me to be an instrument to distribute your words in several places around the world. I thank you for the instructions you continue to give through your books. I thank you for allowing me to associate with devotees. May I never again forget these things are more meaningful and important than anything else within the three worlds. My prayer, my hope, is to always remember the special moment when time vanished and a glimpse of eternal timeless bliss was bestowed upon this unworthy disciple. The first time you glanced at me and smiled as you covered me with your flower petals of mercy. I pray that by your guidance I can overcome the cunning ways of Maya and never forget the special moment and all the countless mercy which followed. I have only one last blessing to ask. May I see the picture of you and surrender this moment. Remember this moment as the life air is passed from this body. While others may wish to remember Krishna at the time of death, I pray to chant your name and remember your divine grace, for I know my eternal place resides in the service of your lotus feet. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for that very emotional offering of love, Krishna Gopal Prabhu. Mother Indrani, one of the ladies can help her get to the front. And after Mother Indrani is Yamaraj Prabhu. Then after Yamaraj Prabhu is Saranga Thakur. We'd like to humbly remind the devotees of the time restraints in order to allow all the Vaishnavas to speak. So please try to keep your offerings to the time limit we've requested of 4 minutes. Thank you.
I had said if they call on me, I was going to come up and just say thank you and go back. But thank you seems like a small word, two small words, but they're very large. When I first came in 1990, Bhakti Tirtha Swami told all of us, you're our grandfather, and that whatever we offered to him, he didn't take junk, because whatever we offered him, he offered to you. I've heard your words and endeavored to practice this philosophy from that time. The words I heard at that time, 1990-91, that I remember most, and I felt I knew I was in the right place, that you said, one can end the cycle of birth and death this lifetime. And I said, I'm in the right place. But then I found out, in order to reach that ending of the cycle, there was a process of following instructions, a process of hearing, a process of chanting, a process. And I've endeavored to do that to the best of my ability. My thank you this past festival, Balaram's Parents' Day, the experience, it's very difficult to put into words. The only thing I can say, at some point I felt I was not in this world. This was not this world, for want of better words. And all I could think of was, thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for bringing these teachings, these festivals. And I also thank your sons and daughters for continuing your work and having such a wonderful festival that I could experience. In fact, on my way home, once we drove out of here, I remember saying to the driver, it was a whole nother world. And it was so real. And I say thank you. The next festival was just yesterday. And again, it was another world. But all I could think of, thanking you because you brought it, and thanking your sons and daughters for keeping it up. And what was important was, at first, ending the cycle, and when I heard it was so important, gotta get it. But having these experiences this lifetime, I have been brought to hear you, learn about you, and get a glimpse of the experience after I don't know how many lifetimes of coming and going. And for this, I thank you, Srila Prabhupada. This lifetime, because of you, I'm getting an understanding. And now it's not so important to end the cycle of birth and death. The importance is my understanding. And based on that understanding, whether it ends this lifetime, the understanding and experiences that I'm taking with me when I go will always be with me. And maybe eventually the lifetime will end. But thank you, Srila Prabhupada. And thanks to your sons and daughters and the experience I'm having this lifetime. All I can say is thank you. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Please always bless me and all of us to always remember you and study your teachings and instructions and follow them, because you have given us all we need to end this cycle of birth and death. And I'm still practicing. Help me, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mother Indrani. Yamaraj Prabhu is next, followed by Saranga Thakur, followed by Mother Gopeshwari.
This Vyasa Puja is like an anniversary for me. I came to Krishna consciousness about 14 years ago. I walked into the temple on Jamastami. But prior to that experience, I had a friend of mine gave me a higher taste book, and he wasn't even a devotee. And I read that book, and I was compelled to become a vegetarian after reading that book. And so that started my life in trying to correct all the mistakes I had made in so many lifetimes. I would like to thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for your message and for your life. And I remember reading, one of the first books I read was The Diaries, written by Hari Sari. And I was so much impressed with the man, your character, and how you manage your society. And it made a very deep impression on my mind, because I was always, as a very young child, I was always very cynical and looking for real role models in this world, and I didn't see any. And so at the age of around 43, through the mercy of yourself, I read your book. And after reading that book and trying to become Krishna conscious and becoming a vegetarian, now here I am trying to serve. I'm very thankful for you and very thankful that you sent your disciple, His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami. And I want to thank you on this very glorious day of yours. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Yamaraj Prabhu. Suranga Thakur, Gopishwari, and Kalki Avatar.
Hare Krishna. This poem is about the most precious and sacred struggle and the divine grace required to realize the goal. In the dark I am, I can only feel my way, and so I am holding tightly to you, Lord, hearing and chanting your holy names in the darkness. My only solace is your holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. This is the substance of my perception, my reality. Everything else is a blur. Even when there is light to see, the different forms I take are all misguiding. If not for you, you, Lord Krishna, Krishna, are the complete whole, and still you are the most wonderful Supreme Person. Most of what I wrestle with is subtle, and like the tip of the iceberg, I can only see and understand a small part of it. Dear Srila Prabhupada, if I can see or hear anything about Krishna, it's because of you. If not for you, the darkness would be complete, and knowledge would be incoherent bits and pieces floating in a soup of concoction. If not for you, I wouldn't know how to live day to day, a life in relation to Krishna. There would be no devotees to follow or serve. I wouldn't know the proper diet of practice and prasadam, and my struggle would be empty and meaningless. You, Srila Prabhupada, have brought the eternal torch of the holy name. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There are so many of these torches of the holy name now, Srila Prabhupada, lighting up the dark night of this age, carried with devotion and dedication to the far corners of the world. It seems I am still struggling to keep mine lit, but still I am allowed to chant Hare Krishna, and I am very grateful. I pray to be one of these devotees who live the life you gave us, relaying the mantra and the message that transforms hearts, and loudly and widely proclaiming the glories of the holy name. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada, the ambassador of Lord Krishna's holy names. Where would we be without you? Jaya Srila Prabhupada.
Much Saranga Thakur Prabhu. Next is Mother Gopishwari and then Kalki Avatar.
Hare dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my most humble obeisances at your divine lotus feet. All glories to you and your ISKCON movement. As my words are insufficient to praise you, please allow me first to read from your Srimad Bhagavatam one of my favorite verses and purports, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Verse 25. Sa uttama shloka mahan mukachuto babat padam boja sudakananila smritim purnavismrita tat bavartmanam kuyoginam no vitaratya lambarai. My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouths of your pure devotee. It is explained that one has to purport. It is explained that one has to hear glorification of the Lord from the mouth of a pure devotee. The transcendental vibration from the mouth of a pure devotee is so powerful that it can revive the living entity's memory of his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our material existence, under the influence of illusory Maya, we have almost forgotten our eternal relationship with the Lord. Exactly like a man sleeping very deeply who forgets his duties. In the Vedas, it is said that every one of us is sleeping under the influence of Maya. We must get up from this slumber and engage in the right service, for thus we can properly utilize the facility of this human form of life. As expressed by a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. The Lord asks every sleeping entity to get up and engage in devotional service so that his mission in this human form of life may be fulfilled. This awakening voice comes through the mouth of a pure devotee. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet, and therefore he has a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although the sound of this material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up until that moment he had forgotten everything. For a conditioned soul, therefore, it is very important to hear from the mouth of a pure devotee who is fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord without any material desire, speculative knowledge, or contamination of the modes of material nature. Every one of us is kuyogi because we have engaged in the service of this material world, forgetting our eternal relationship with the Lord as his eternal loving servant. It is our duty to rise from the Kuyoga platform to become Suyogis, perfect mystics. The process of hearing from a pure devotee is recommended in all Vedic scriptures, especially by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One may stay in his position of life. It does not matter what it is, but if one hears from the mouth of a pure devotee, he gradually comes to the understanding of his relationship with the Lord and thus engages in his loving service, and his life becomes completely perfect. Therefore, the process of hearing from the mouth of a pure devotee is very important for making progress in the line of spiritual understanding. My dear Srila Prabhupada, although I never saw you in person, your voice and instructions inspired me through books and recorded classes, and I experienced firsthand your powerful voice as touched by the particles of saffron dust that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord, and my life was transformed. Who can comprehend your mercy? Who can measure your kindness and wisdom? On this auspicious day of your appearance in this world, we pray that we may be blessed by you and Lord Krishna
to have your causeless devotional service in our lives, now and always, without interruption by the force of Maya. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. We beg to remain your humble servants. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Gopishwari. Next up is Kalki Avatar, Trivikram, and Sumati.
All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear spiritual grandfather, please accept my dandavas to your lotus feet. Thousands of years ago, Sri Hanumanji crossed the ocean from India to Lanka to fulfill the desire of his dear Lord, Sri Ramachandra. In the 60s, you crossed the ocean with Radha Krishna in your heart to fulfill the desire of your beloved spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada. When I met the devotees in Peru in 1996, and by reading your words, I realized that everything you say makes so much sense. Also, I suffered because I knew that you were not present in the world. You departed from this world before I was born. But by your grace, I could get a connection to you through one of your sincere disciples. He showed me your greatness and that you perform miracles every day. You created a society so powerful in a short period of time, and so on and so on. And that even today, that your Bapu is not with us, you still perform miracles. I am one of your miracles. A simple Peruvian guy trying to find God in the streets of Lima, a country that never got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada by being touched by his lotus feet. Another miracle that you still performing is uniting different people of different ages, different backgrounds, and different visions. But you, Srila Prabhupada, you unite all of us. Once you wrote in one of your letters, Krishna consciousness is a movement of unity in diversity. That miracle of you is alive and stronger than ever. Srila Prabhupada, thank you for all. You fulfill the desires of all. Today in this morning, I was extremely happy because you fulfill my desire of being in one of your Vyasa Puja with a big group of your disciples. Dear Srila Prabhupada, I'm your grandson. Please keep me close to you. Give me the strength and the courage to continue your legacy. I'm useless, but your grace can make me useful. I pray to the Lord to keep myself close to your wisdom and unlimited compassion. Your spiritual grandson, Kalki Avatar Das. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you very much, Kalki Avatar Prabhu. Trivikram Prabhu, followed by Sumati, and then Ramiya will read the new Raman Reti offering.
Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to you. It is an extremely fortunate and blessed position to be amongst the Vaishnavas to celebrate your Vyasa Puja. On this special occasion, I'd like to express my gratitude for the pioneering task you undertook to broadcast the message of Lord Chaitanya to the world. Now we can be assured that we don't have to take repetitive births and deaths once we follow your instructions nicely. The living entities are controlled helplessly by the modes of nature and are dragged by the noose of karma perpetually from earth to heaven to hell and back, mostly suffering with a minuscule of so-called happiness. Our payment to you is not possible, but at least we can cooperate together to spread the Sankirtan message to every nook and corner of the globe. Please shower your blessings on us all, that we remain fixed at the service of your lotus feet and your lordship Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, Krishna Balaram and Gauranitai. Hari Bol, your servant Trivikram Das.
Thank you very much, Trivikram Prabhu. Mother Sumati.
Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Itiname Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Prashkatade Shatara.
Please use the microphone a little more closely. Thank you.
I was thinking the other day if I offered my pranams, obeisances to you every minute of the day, it would still never be enough. Out of your causeless mercy and your dedication and love for your Guru Maharaj, you came here to save us. 46 years ago today, you were on the Jaladuta, crossing the ocean to come and save the fallen, degraded souls of Kali Yuga in this country. In the past couple of years, I've had the service of caring for beloved God sisters who are very ill and some passing away, and I've been in and out of hospitals with them and seen, witnessed the magnitude of suffering that is taking place every day. That's just in this country and a few cities that I've been in. Thousands of people going into hospitals, doctor's offices, just suffering so much. And when a devotee becomes ill, even though they're physically maybe suffering some, because of your mercy, your grace, our suffering is different. And we have hope, and we have service, and we know about Krishna, and we know who we are, just tiny, if infinitesimal, spiritual souls, completely apart from this gross and subtle body. I'm not a poet, but my friend Rasikya was a poet, and I want to read an offering that she wrote to you. You came from Vaikuntha to prove Krishna's form. To impersonalist and voidist sunk in the norm, such divine philosophy, prasad and dance, made any sincere soul give it a chance. Krishna, so beautiful, gentle, astute, attracts everyone with the sound of his flute. O eternal master, you've done the same by giving the world Krishna's sweet holy name, attracting us to Krishna like a charming magician. Many just gave up family tradition. Impossible task for an ordinary man. Krishna sent you to carry his plan. Established a mission so great and sublime, based on instructions not influenced by time. To spread Krishna consciousness is not a joke. Without you, not easy to harness the yoke. In our spiritual family, so much dissension. Everything's to be resolved in the fourth dimension. You taught to take shelter in the absolute, become purely attracted to the sound of his flute. Keeping in mind our ultimate goal, crucial it is for the conditioned soul, obstacles becoming relatively small in congregational chanting Hari Hari Bol. All must pass the fire of ordeal, trying to avoid it is quite unreal. How to attain to pure devotion without mastering mundane emotion? Your kindness and mercy beyond comprehension, serving you nicely our honest intention. All of us fledglings follow the sun, cross the turbulent ocean of death into spiritual calm. O Srila Prabhupada, separation too much. My heart is yearning for your spiritual touch. Vani is said to be greater than Vapu. O Prabhupada, Prabhupada, my wish is to be with you. Meditating deeply on your blessed appearance makes hopeful our quest for restored coherence. Praying humbly at your lotus feet, when, oh when, the day when we will meet. Your servant, Rasikya Devi Dasi.
Thank you, Mother Samati, and thank you for bringing that offering from Mother Rasikya for us again. Ramiya Prabhu, Vegavati, and Mahamaya.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Bhaskachade Satarine. Dear beloved Srila Prabhupada, please accept our humble obeisances in the dust of your lotus feet. All glories to your divine grace. On this most glorious occasion of your appearance, we are eager to present our offerings unto you for your pleasure. These offerings are the combined efforts of many hundreds of devotees in New Raman Reddy community, and they encompass many devotional and preaching activities. Last year, we were able to install Sri Sri Krishna Balaram in their temple here at New Raman Reddy. This was done with the help of more than 400 families and individuals who came forward in large and small ways to make their contributions to serve their lordships. Seamstresses completed the